This message is titled, True Worship, by Holger Schulte. It was recorded at Agape Fellowship of the Mennonite Church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Additional resources and sermons may be found at agapewilliamsport.org.
Quite similar to this little congregation in the mountains, except our new church had about 1,000 plus members and 2 worship services, 4 worship teams. It was there that I discovered my love to worship the Lord in song. They had several worship teams, as I said, with drums and electric guitars. Imagine that. I was amazed and never thought I would experience a rock concert in church. It was then that my love for worship was ignited. But I never would have dreamed that one day I would stand on stage, let alone lead the worship of a church service. But God had some plans with me, as the John 4 passage says, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And seeking me, he did. In our first small group in Germany, I was nominated to lead the worship. I was able to play a few chords on my guitar, so that qualified me to lead the worship. Later on, a couple of years later, we joined a discipleship group in our church. And during the course, which took about a year, we had an outreach to Israel, which took 3 weeks. During that time, I learned that I would lose my job, and I was devastated and doubted the Lord a little bit. But we even got the financial resources to make this trip to Israel. Somebody donated the money for my family and me. And during that time, it was a very blessed time. We were talking to strangers on the street in a foreign language. I was, at that time, not very sufficient in the English. Still not. So we were trained a little bit. Okay, these are the Old Testament verses that you need to apply to these people. They are Jews. They know all these Old Testament passages, you know, where it's talking about Jesus. So I was fine with that. But then it turned out a couple of days into this 3-week outreach, the assigned worship leader, who trained with us weeks and weeks before the outreach, she got sick, and she could not leave the compound where we were staying. So I was the only other person who could play some guitar. So I became the worship leader. And that was quite an experience, because I wasn't just, you know, standing in front of a church like here. I was standing on the streets in a strange land, singing songs in 2 different languages other than my home language. We had practiced singing songs in Hebrew. We were singing to Adonai, and well, here I am, you know, leading our group of about 30 young people in worship and praise and witness to people on the streets. Later then, when I moved to the United States the following year, I had to live a few months in a hotel room by myself. No guitar, nothing, just the bare minimum. But on the first Sunday after church, this church, yeah, I was invited to one of our elders, and I was given a guitar. It was his wife's guitar. Shortly after that, I was leading worship again in a small group in English. It did not take long before I got invited to join the worship team on occasion, usually when most of the regular team was out. First time was on an Easter service, I remember that. Conrad invited me in to be on his team. Eventually, our worship leader at the time asked me to officially join the worship team. A few years later, I became the worship leader of one of our four worship teams at the time. But then things did not go so well with Agape, and many of our brothers and sisters at Agape left. So it came that at one point in time, I was literally the last man standing together with my wife, Birgit. And we both led worship on basically every Sunday for almost a year. But eventually Agape recovered, and now we have four teams again. Not in my wildest dreams would I have thought 25 years ago that I would stand here in front of you as your worship leader, and today for the first time as your preacher too, more like a teacher. Despite my love for worship and God, and worship and God's wonderful way to seek me out and make me a worshiper, it took me a few years to fully understand what it means to truly worship the Lord in spirit and truth. It was the Holy Spirit in me who grew my love to the Father, who directed me in song, who directed my song selection, who trained me to pray and to invite the manifest presence of the Lord. I knew that the Lord is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere, every time. But I learned that we can have a special time with him, a private holy audience, where he shows his presence, where he talks to us, where he directs our prayers and actions, where the Holy Spirit completely fills us and guides us, a time of unspeakable joy. Fred Hartley from the College of Prayer calls it the manifest presence of the Lord. Again, the manifest presence, in contrast to the omnipresence of the Lord. The omnipresence of the Lord is there all the time. God is with us. Whether you sleep, whether you're awake, wherever you go, he's there for every one of us. Everywhere in the world, in the whole universe, he fills it. But the manifest presence is a little different. It's like having a private audience with the Lord. It's like inviting him personally and getting a personal experience with him. It is through our sincere worship and prayer that we are granted this special presence. It is during audiences like this that we receive prophecies that our teachers or preachers know exactly what to say and how, that our ears and hearts are open to the message being relayed to us, that we repent of our sins and renew our love to the Lord and the love to each other. Ever since I learned about this special presence of the Lord at my first College of Prayer weekend, I was striving to invite it during time of worship, during prayer. I was praying for the congregation to follow me in my endeavor to strive for us as a congregation to experience revival, to see his fire cleanse our town and be renewed. Jesus' prophecy has come true for me. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, what did he mean? She told him they were worshiping on the mountain there. But what is worship? Is it singing Christian songs in church or at home? Well, that is one aspect of worship. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." But first, let's clarify a few things. What is the difference between praise and worship? What is the difference between praise and worship? In many places, the Bible commands us to praise the Lord. We are to praise him with singing. In Isaiah 12, verse 5, it says, "Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth." Or Psalm 9, verse 11, "Sing praises to the Lord, who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the people his deeds." And, or with musical instruments, 1 Chronicles 13:8. "And David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with song and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets." I guess lyres stands for guitars, maybe electric guitars. Or with dance. Psalm 154 says, "Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe." Or with shouting. Psalm 33:1, "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise benefits the upright." When we praise, we joyfully proclaim all the things God has done for us. Praise has a close connection to thanksgiving. We offer to him appreciation for his mighty works that he has done on our behalf. Praise is not restricted to our relationship with God. We can praise our spouses, families, or friends. It does not require anything from us other than a truthful acknowledgement of the righteous acts of another. But since God has done so much for us, he is worthy of our praise. Worship, however, is different. Worship is a life response. It's a way of life. It comes from a different place within our spirit. It is reserved for God alone. Worship is reserved for God alone. Praise may be part of worship, but worship goes deeper and beyond praise. Praise is easy, worship is not. When we truly worship, it will affect the way we live, whether we worship what is truly worthy of reverence, which is God, or merely if we worship idols, our work, our bank accounts, a rock star perhaps, or a political idol. Although Exodus 20 reminds us or commands us not to worship any idols. "You shall not make yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them." True worship is only for God. Worship is worth-ship. Worship is worth-ship. We worship what is worthy or has value. The Greek word for worship implies an attitude of reverence and includes physical gestures such as kissing the hand or kneeling. when we truly worship something, we act as if it has value, as if it has worth. As we pursue God by reading His Word and spending time with Him in prayer and worship, we more and more come to the realization that He is the only thing, the only one who deserves worship. Through the Holy Spirit, we come to the conclusion that there's no other. So we worship Him because of who He is. Our actions and attitudes reflect that we believe the character and conduct of God to be worthy of praise and adoration. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." True worship requires us to humble ourselves before God, surrender every part of our lives to His control, and adore Him for who He is. True worship requires us to humble ourselves before God, surrender every part of our lives to His control, and adore Him for who He is. Not just what He has done, as that would be merely praise. David demonstrated his total humbleness in his worship to God when he danced in his undergarment before the Ark of the Covenant, 2 Samuel 6. His wife, Michal, criticized and despised him for that, but God punished her with barrenness. Revelation 19, verse 1 to 10, describes the worship in heaven. "After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For His judgments are true and just. He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants.' Once more they cried, 'Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever.' And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who is seated on the throne, saying, 'Amen and Hallelujah.' And from the throne came a voice crying, 'Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, small and great.' Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are true words of God.' Then I fell down at his feet," the angel's feet, "to worship him. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" Is that true worship or what? Amazing. "But the hour is coming, is now, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." We must worship in spirit and truth. when we worship him, and as I already stated, this may be musical worship or any other form of worship, we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Again, when we worship, we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Just like he leads us in prayer, he also leads us in worship. As the Spirit directs us, we automatically worship in truth, because the Holy Spirit is the ultimate truth. He wouldn't tell us lies or lead us into lies. So being led by the Holy Spirit in worship automatically lets us worship in truth. Now, I hope and pray that you gain a bit of understanding what your worship team is striving for. For instance, when we repeat the chorus of a song the 10th time, when we keep singing the same song 3 times in the same service, when all we do is 4 songs on a 40-minute worship time, when we leave long breaks of silence between the songs, it all has one purpose: to glorify him and him only. Amen. Thank you. If the worship team comes up, please.
Father, we worship you in spirit and truth, not just because you prophesied that that would happen, but because you are our Father, because you are worthy of our worship. You're the only thing that's worthy. We worship and praise you because the Spirit leads us to. We can't but worship you. This is a major purpose of our lives now, that we become.
Thank you for listening. Additional resources and information are available at agapewilliamsport.org.